Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And I'm pumped. And I'm ginned up. Maybe it's because we're heading out of town for spring break with the kiddos, which will be fun. And I'm sure the rest of you can, I'm sure you can all relate. It's been a year, right? It has been a year. Anyway, going to go down, play in the pool, hit up the water parks. You guys know the deal. But I really don't think that's why I'm pumped. Well, I love my job. I'm always excited every week, right? There's so many interesting things going on in the world. A lot of it unnerving. Don't get me wrong. Right? I'm not blind to it. But it's still fascinating, right? May you live in interesting times. We certainly do. But got a great show planned for you today. We were going to have an interview. I was telling the OGs on 770 AM. I was telling them that we had an interview planned with Chase Taylor, Pinecone Macro, to get a macroeconomic update, you know. But Chase is moving across the country with his baby and his wife, and he was going to try to make it happen. And I said, dude, don't worry about it. Just I'll hold it down for you this week, and we'll get you on next week. So we're going to have Chase on with us next week, and we'll get the macroeconomic update and different markets around the world to watch and things to keep an eye on. And Chase is always looking out for that. So, but today I'm kind of referring to this as our inflation special. And that's a hot topic. And we're going to get into that in the second segment after we do the market update. And then we're going to expand that inflation topic to address real estate directly. And I'm sure so many of you are thinking about real estate right now. I'm getting questions about it from our clients, from prospective clients, right and left. Real estate is insane. We've talked about it on the show before, but we focus more on rates. And so I really want to elaborate that because I think that I've been misunderstood. And to me, real estate, now look, as always, guys, right? Like, I could be wrong. Unfortunately, I've been wrong before, and unfortunately I'll be wrong again at some point. But you know, real estate to me is a pretty clear picture, and we really want to drill down into that. And, like I said, I based on the conversations I've had with people, I'm just afraid that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there, and I just really want to shore that up. But anyway, getting over to the market update, this is I need a cough button, Darren. You know, I shouldn't be coughing into the mic like that. I apologize. Oh, and I also apologize, guys. I warned you last week. The audio quality was not very good. We did what we could. I was on the road. So I apologize, but we are back in the Bulwark headquarters, the COVID bunker. So we should be sounding a lot better today. But anyway, market update. So, people are going to, you're probably got people that are excited about the S&P being over 4,000 now. We're currently at 4,110. It's about 11:45 on Friday. That is a breakout to new all-time highs. Dow broke breakout to new all-time highs. NASDAQ's still lagging. NASDAQ's still at 13.8. Remember the other day I was sitting there going, really watch the NASDAQ, because I thought this week you could see an 8 to 10% down day on the NASDAQ. That didn't happen, obviously. And the NASDAQ there for about 2 to 3 weeks kept threatening to break below that lower support, and it held, which doesn't surprise me. Thought we'd see some fireworks, maybe an 8 to 10% pullback there in tech. Didn't really get it. But man, the indexes, it is acting differently. It is decidedly different. And this rotation into value has stalled out a little bit. Some of the big tech names have come back. But I really don't see that as exclusive. And it's one of the reasons that watching this action and really thinking about tech over the last week or two, I think it's kind of a tale of two cities. And what I mean by that is I really do think, and you know, look, I could be wrong about this too, but I really do think that the majority of the insanity surrounding so many of these names like Tesla, I think most of that is behind us. If not all of it. But when you flip back to the NASDAQ, what makes it tough is those five companies, those five or six, the FANG companies at the top of the index. And here's the reason. This might surprise you. I think Apple is universally seen as kind of the safest play out of that. Ironically, Apple to me is the most ridiculously priced. Incredible company, not dogging it. I'm not saying that Apple is ridiculously priced compared to the rest of the market. Okay, it's not. But it's just, if you look at Apple, on a fundamental level, it's just really hard to justify the valuation they have, especially when you comp them with companies like Facebook and Google. The growth rates, pretty much every financial metric for Google and Facebook is substantially better than Apple. Maybe the premium in Apple has to do with political risk. I think it's undoubtedly, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that Apple is anywhere near as big a target politically as Facebook and Google and Amazon even could potentially be. So maybe that's part of that premium built into Apple. But anyway, my point is Apple is also the richest company, right? The biggest profit producing machine in the history of companies. So in that line, you could, you know, in that vein, you can see some of the extreme, you know, some of that valuation, some of that hype built into that price. But this is a company that really hasn't done anything, guys, in the last 5 years. What new product did they come out that blew you away? I've got the brand new iPhone. Not impressed. Right. It's okay. It's got the three camera. The camera's really cool. I actually switched from Samsung to Apple and I kind of regret it. I think Samsung's jumped out ahead of them. And for those people in tech, maybe you're like, they've been out ahead of them for a long time. Maybe. I'm not a huge, you know, I'm not a big phone geek. If it works, great. But my whole point saying that when you look at, you know, if you have a pivot to value and then you go look at Google and Facebook's financials, I'm not going to call them a value play, but that's pretty dang good growth and pretty incredible profit for the valuation that you're paying. And if those stocks aren't going to get hit, which they've broken out, right? Microsoft is at new all-time highs. Facebook is at new all-time highs. Google is at new all-time highs. I think they'll drag the index with them. So I think it's going to be kind of a tale of two cities. I think that you're going to see continued pain and much slower rates of share appreciation on the lower half of the NASDAQ. But I just really don't think these FANG names are going to tip over. It just doesn't make sense. It's just hard to... It's hard to not own them. And I don't like saying that. It hurts me to say, right? I'd like to tell you it's all overrated. It's all garbage. I want to make sure that I'm pointing out, I'm not saying that about the NASDAQ. I really do not think the NASDAQ is the index that I would own. And unfortunately, the vast majority of investors I talk to are like, I really like the NASDAQ. Well, of course you do. It's gone up almost double the amount the S&P over the last 10 years, right? But what do you think the chances are that'll happen again in the next 10 years? Very, very slim. It's not the way this works. But no, the value names are still hanging in there. They've quit running. That's fine. Usually when you get a breakout, and guys, that breakout in value has been monstrous. You know, I think, you know, our value portfolio is up something like 45% or something like that since November. A lot of the value indexes are up, you know, a little less than that, but, you know, 30, 35, maybe as high as 40. That's an incredible run, right? As a matter of fact, it's the biggest run from value compared to growth in tech over this entire cycle, 13 years. And so you got to expect some consolidation, right? Things don't just go up all the time. But the advantage you have on the value side, guys, is you're going to see, I think you're going to see with a lot of these companies, continued really good earnings reports. And what that means is that if the price of value, a lot of these value companies that we like, especially the small and mid cap, if the price of these companies stays where it's at, these companies will get cheaper by the year, over the course of the year, right? Because their earnings are going to go up so dramatically. And then we look at those earnings on a trailing 12-month basis. We look at the previous four quarters. And every quarter, right, another bad quarter from last year is falling off that calculation. And the quarter from this year is coming in. So I actually think, I've heard people out there talking, you know, you got to be careful with value because the gap between value and tech has really grown or has really closed a lot tighter than it was. Well, yeah. But I guarantee you, tech ain't going to put up the year-over-year growth numbers in terms of earnings and revenues that you're going to see out of these value plays. So these value plays will continue to get cheaper if the price of the stock stays here, right? In general, you're not going to be saying that about these tech companies, right? They had their best year ever last year. So to us, you know, this rotation into value, in my opinion, is just getting rolling. You know, I think the same is true of energy and commodities. Again, we've seen a little bit of a pullback here. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little more pain on that front. But, you know, this is why we're focusing on inflation today. This is an inflation story. And we're going to say inflation by hook or by crook. And I really want to dig into that and tell you what I think. So anyway, long story is, guys, is that we look at this market, and I'm going to summarize what's going on here. We look at this market, and I think it's going to continue to be volatile. You know, it hasn't been very volatile at all. As a matter of fact, the VIX is down to 16, which just kind of blows my mind. I thought we'd kind of set a new floor around the 20 level. And maybe this is a really temporary low on the VIX here. Just because the indexes have basically been flat for 3 or 4 weeks. So maybe the fact that the VIX is low has more to do with the index performance as opposed to people not being worried about downside. Right? It's a small nuanced take. I don't think the VIX is telling us a whole lot here, even at 16. You know, these indexes, again, S&P and Dow, slightly upward bias, right? But you basically have this grind sideways now for several months. So once again, guys, the ticket to us going forward is you're going to see more pullbacks, protecting capital during those pullbacks, taking advantage when the run starts again. What does that all come down to? It comes down to risk management, right? And getting rid of bonds. Your bonds are getting smoked. They're getting smoked. What you need is a risk management strategy. You need to be good on either side. You need to be good if the whole bottom falls out of this insane Frankenstein-type market. And you need to be good if inflation steps in and really starts cranking and prices go sky high. Okay, your portfolio is not built for that. It's not. You get an inflationary period. Go look at the performance of the stock market and bonds from 1968 to 1983, the last real inflationary run we had. That 60-40 portfolio got annihilated. So if you're concerned about all the money printing you see going on and you think it will result in inflation, you need a risk management strategy. The portfolio you're in is going to get run over. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Take the 2 minutes, 3 minutes to invest. Just understand the process. Maybe you don't become a client. That's fine. But educate yourself. This is just the rest of your financial life. It's kind of important. I think it's worth a 5-minute investment of your time. Just educate yourself. Maybe you do your own thing still. Maybe you stay where you are. That's fine. Just educate yourself. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
and we are back. All right, so we're going to get in to the inflation discussion. And this is just going to be sort of a lead-in into it. I went a little over in the last segment, so I got to pull back a little bit on the segment. We're just going to get a lead-in. And I kind of want to set the stage, for lack of a better term. First of all, let me come right out of the gate and just say this. If you are expecting hyperinflation in the next 3 to 5 years, I think you're going to be sorely mistaken. And it comes down to mechanics, guys. And you look, if you don't believe me, that's fine. Not everybody will. People are like, hey, man, you're an idiot. They're printing all this money. No, I get it. I'm just telling you, this is something that we have dug into a lot. And I'll tell you why. I grew up in an environment where my grandfather was very active politically. He was an author, talked about, addressed geopolitics. It's actually got a couple books out there that were New York Times bestsellers. One was called Call It Conspiracy, and then the follow-up was, the first was None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and then another one is Call It Conspiracy. Actually, great reads if you're into the whole conspiracy thing. I think he was a couple overboard on a couple areas, but he actually had some really interesting insights. And looking back on those books now, they seem kind of prophetic in some ways. Not everything turned out right. But anyway, one of the things that – and he was active. He and my father started a brokerage firm in 1983. And one of the reasons they did that is because they were getting really active in the natural resources space. And the reason that they were getting really active in the natural resources space is because that was a high inflationary time, right? Big inflation, big interest rates, 80s. We all remember that. And commodities had a heck of a run in the 70s. Remember oil shortage lines, oil prices going up, gold going up, silver going up. And so I remember hearing that, you know, as a kid, the national debt was going to blow us up. Well, here we are. Back then, the national debt was, what, 30% of GDP or something like that? Now we're at 150% debt to GDP. And look, eventually, the eventuality of this, to me, is pretty certain, right? Eventually, the dollar will collapse. Eventually, the dollar will no longer be the reserve currency of the world. But eventually could take 50 years. And I learned that because I was particularly, because of my background, was particularly sensitive and really watching for inflation. And I thought after 08-09, it was baked into the cake. They're printing trillions of dollars. They're buying up government debt. We're moving money from one pocket to the other. We're flooding the system with money. Here comes the inflation. And by 2012, 2013, asset prices were inflating. Stocks were going up. Houses were coming back a little bit at that point. But there wasn't inflation the way we thought of it. And that led to one, and I've talked about this on the show before, but that led to one of the most frustrating periods of my career, really from like 2012 to 2014, halfway through 2014. Because I was sitting there going, wait a second, I know that, right, you have to get inflation. Look at all the printing. Look at what's going on with the debt. This is crazy. Why isn't it showing up? And what I didn't understand was the monetary system, which is extraordinarily complex. And I am not an expert on the monetary system. I mean, you know, I might sound like an expert to somebody that isn't in the industry, but I'm not. It's a very complex thing. I think that I have a pretty good rudimentary global grasp on it. I think that we've got a good grasp on the big parts, right? The most important aspects of it. But it is extraordinarily complicated. And the issue, the reason you didn't have inflation in the prior period is when the Fed was buying those bonds, they were buying them from Fed member banks. So banks that were a part of the Fed setup, you know, the J.P. Morgans, you know, Morgan Stanley, your Bank of America, right? And what the Fed did is they were buying those, and we've talked about this on the show before, but they were printing the money, right? They were creating the money out of thin air, but it wasn't really money per se. It was bank reserves. Now, the difference between the two, basically a bank reserve is a dollar, on a bank's balance sheet on reserve at the Fed. But it is not a U.S. dollar in the sense that it immediately can get, you know, put out into circulation. Anyway, I don't want to get into that because I'll lose you. Bottom line is all that money they were printing was not getting out in the economy. It was just sitting on the bank's balance sheets, right? And now those banks had to go out and buy other assets to replace that because, you know, they're buying up their bonds and you know, they got to go buy something else. And that act, right, that knock-on effect is really what juiced asset prices and pushed interest rates down, which juiced asset prices even more. Now, the interesting thing about what's going on now since post-COVID is they are still doing that, but they are also adding to it things that put money out in the actual economy in consumers' hands. One of the things that you can look at what they did in that light is back when they violated their own, you know, the Federal Reserve Act, in my opinion, they violated their own charter and they bought corporate debt back in March to stable, quote unquote, stabilize corporate debt markets, push the prices up. And why is that different? Because that put money directly into investors' hands, right? The unemployment benefits, that put money directly into people's hands. PPP, right? That put money directly into people's hands. You know, they're talking about universal basic income. They're talking about writing down college loans. All of these things now, the money is now not just being confined to the financial system. It is spreading out. Okay? Now you're sitting there probably going, wait a second, Zach, I didn't think you said we'd see hyperinflation. I don't think we're going to, not anytime in the near future. And the reason why is because now you've got to go look at the other side of the balance sheet. Right? Corporate debt is at a record. I think you're at 100% corporate debt to GDP. And if not, you're really close. It's a record. I think the long-term average is something like 35 or 38% debt to GDP, corporate debt. Okay, you're at 100. Look at the U.S. government debt. Right? Look at consumer debt. It's at a record high. It's hard to really gin up a hyperinflationary scenario because if things in the economy start going tilt, all that debt starts tipping over and going bad, right? And when the debt tips over and goes bad, that is money destruction. So you're destroying it as the Fed is printing it. So the net to the economy is not that much more. Now, again, they're doing it differently this time because they're actually putting it in the consumer's hands. And they're going to keep doing that because they have to. So I've only got about 50 seconds left in this segment. We're going to get into why they have to and what that's going to look like in the next segment here. But bottom line is, guys, you got to be nimble in your approach, right? And one of the things that drives me nuts about, you know, that typical 60-40 portfolio that some of you have, it is a horrific investment vehicle for an inflationary environment. And again, if you don't believe me, go look at the performance of the S&P 500 from 1968 to 1983, and then go look at the performance of bonds over the same period of time. If you were in a 60-40 portfolio during that period of time that most of us remember, if you were in a 60-40 portfolio and you were taking 4% distributions out of that portfolio, you were broke by like 1976, 1977. Okay, you need a risk management strategy. Call us 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Educate yourselves how to have a portfolio that works both in deflation and inflation and protects you from catastrophic loss at lower fees while offering you more upside. Guys, educate yourselves. You're going to get killed in that traditional portfolio. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's Bond Replacement Strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. If you can't attend, there's another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans to pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Wednesday at 3 p.m. There's also another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so we're continuing our inflation stuff. Okay, now this, we're going to get this into how it's going to impact markets or how we think it's going to impact markets. We're also going to talk about how it's going to impact real estate. Okay, but I just want to lay the scene a little bit more. So what I was saying in the previous segment is now, unlike before, all that printed money is not just staying in the financial system, right? It's getting out there. And you're going to continue to see it, right? Green New Deal, universal basic income, student debt reductions, right? All of that stuff is putting money directly in consumers' hands, which is a big departure from the way they've been trying to stimulate over the last decade or so. And if you don't think, you know, so, you know, what you're seeing right now going on in the economy, it's inflation. The Fed's going to tell you there's no inflation, but they're, you know, just don't listen to them. It's complete nonsense. The CPI, the way they measure inflation, is just not. We've talked about this on the show ad nauseum. Okay, just don't listen to them. It's just, I mean, guys, I go to a store, right? We all know. We all know what's going on. The reason why I say it's not going to stop is because it can't. Right? Everybody's like, oh, the economy's bouncing back. Well, yet, no kidding. What did it cost you? $12 trillion? If you pour $10 trillion, $12 trillion into a $20 trillion economy, it's going to go up. Employment's going to improve. That's not magic. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, are you kidding me? So everybody's acting like this is some economic rebound. It's not. But the Fed knows that. And you're at a point now where the economy, especially when you consider the debt that's been acquired over the last 10 years, guys, this is why I'm telling you that they're not going to stop. They can't. If they want the growth they're talking about, they can't. If they stepped out, all of this record debt would implode. If they quit stoking the stock market, companies that are basically the walking dead, like a Delta Airlines, it ain't going to be $8 off its all-time high. And so many of you out there are buying what you think are value companies like Boeing, like Delta. I've told you before, they could go up, sure. But you need to understand what you're buying. Those companies are the walking dead. Okay, that debt is going to impair them probably for a decade, if not more. I'm sure it's going to make some of them go out of business. You know, not just in the airline industry, right? It's across the board. And so when things go out of business, when debt goes bad, okay, when debt goes bad That is like destroying money. It's like burning it. Right? And the way you can think about it is that bond, that piece of debt is somebody else's liability that they have to pay, but it's also somebody else's asset. Right? So if you've got $1 million portfolio and you're in a 60-40 portfolio, right, and you've got bonds, which are debt, and that debt goes bad, and let's say it's a let's say this bond is like a 2% position of your portfolio. That debt goes bad, that 2% of your portfolio evaporates. That's less money in circulation, right? I mean, it's not technically money, right? It's security, but you get my drift. That money evaporates. So the thing that people aren't looking at that are all saying, oh, it's hyperinflation. Oh, I get it. And we'll get there at some point. I mean, every currency has. Right? But it's really hard to sit there and think about this like apocalyptic dollar scenario, even despite what the Fed is doing because of the debt loads. Okay, and so where what I'm trying to get at is I think that you're gonna see this push and pull. I think that this is where we're at now. Is that when, you know, when the Fed is stepping on the gas, when new forms of stimulus are coming out, you're going to see boosts, right? And then they're going to think they've got it licked and everything's going good. And then I think you kind of see things stagnate and you could have really, and I think you will see very severe bouts of volatility, sharp drops that are going to shake people. And then the Fed will step in again. They'll launch some other program and then boom, you're going to take off and rally again. And I really think that managing those downsides, protecting against those big bouts of volatility, I really believe that that is going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest key to how your assets perform over the next 10 years. And again, for those of you that don't believe me, go back and look at the last inflationary environment we were in the 70s. Just market, you know, that's kind of what you'd have these big bouts of volatility, market would drop and then market would surge back and then drop and then, you know, just this sideways grind. Now, because of the printing, I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think you're going to see a flat stock market for 15 years because the Fed will no longer allow it. Back in the 70s, they were much less worried about the market. They were much more concerned, much more focused on the actual economy. Right. And at some point in the last 15 to 20 years, that shifted. The Federal Reserve has turned into a stock market propping organization. That's what they do. And it makes sense in a way because, you know, the growth has slowed down as the population here in the United States is aged. The baby boomers are retiring. And bottom line is stock market assets and things like that just make up a much bigger share of the economy than they ever have before. So, now, I don't think that that's necessarily a good thing, right? But bottom line is that how you handle that, how your portfolio can stand up to that volatility, how it manages those downturns is going to be essential, right? I point to our portfolios. I think you saw a preview of this last year, right? Our stock portfolios have blown away the market over the last year and a half, really last 2 years. Don't quote me, but I think it's something like 13-15% excess returns over the market. If you add them both together, I've got the numbers. I just didn't. Yeah. Anyway, we've blown it away. Why? Because we were down 10 in March. That was the secret, right? The secret to our outperformance over the last year has been the fact that we were down 10 when the market was down 36. I really believe that's the playbook going forward. I mean, it's always been the playbook to some extent. Right. When you manage that downside risk and you manage to protect capital, it just makes making money a lot easier. Right. It's like winning by playing great defense. How are we going to beat you? We're not going to take the 30-40% poundings on the chin like you are. And I think that's a preview of where we're going. And I think that's going to be more and more important. And the reason why is because the markets are more artificially driven. They're not driven by natural causes. Right, that have natural ramp times and things like that. It's light switch. Right, think about how tech came on. Right, it took years. Most everybody was not running around talking about Tesla and Google in 2011. Now you go fast forward to 2016. Everybody was all over it. Right, it was a slow build. That was a natural ascension of those companies reaching their, you know, reaching the pinnacle. You know, and they're still growing, but you know, the public awareness out there of how good these companies were, right? All that stuff naturally takes time to ramp. Oil does not go from $30 to $100 in a week, right? It typically ramps over time. Stimulus doesn't work that way. It's a light switch, right? Boom, there it is. Oh, market starts rallying, new stimulus package, right? And then the downsides are going to be just like that too. We don't get the stimulus package we want, and boom, markets sell off, which will eventually make them give you the stimulus package. But that's going to be the name of the game. And it's going to be about risk management. And the reason why, you guys have also heard me talk about a strong dollar. I think this is the trend. The market has always been about the dollar. It's one of the biggest things that people overlook. When the price of the dollar goes up, that is deflationary. Things decrease in price like stocks. Okay, dollar surged last March. It was 12, 13% higher than it currently is. Why? Things get bad. Everybody wants the currency of last resort. They want the dollar. So they sell their assets. They buy dollars. Well, selling assets is buying dollars, right? Because you can do it you're trading in your stock. You're using your stock to buy dollars as opposed to thinking of it as using your dollars to buy the stock. And the thing you got to remember is all of this debt that we have as a country, and then also the corporate debt included. The Fed is not going to ever tell you it's too much. They're going to tell you it's manageable. But I don't think it's an unreasonable statement. I think this is basically common sense that we can all identify with. When somebody that's running a household or a business is up to their eyeballs in debt, will they spend as much the next year as they did that year they were getting the debt? No, because they got to pay the debt servicing costs, right? They got to pay the interest on the loan, which means that's less stuff they can buy next year. So as debt gets larger in an economy, growth gets more challenged. And there's two ways to get rid of it. Right? How do you deal with a debt situation? Right? I know a lot of you out there have been in it. I got out of college. I was dealing with it. Student loan debt, a couple credit cards that we used to pay for books during it. It was awful. By the grace of God, paid it off. Thank goodness. But it really hampers that growth, and there are two ways to deal with it. One of the ways to deal with it, which is sort of how a free market used to work when we had free markets, was you let default cycles happen. You let recessions happen. The weak get eliminated, right? The less productive get eliminated. And therefore, the business that they were soaking up out of the economy flows to the better actors, the more efficient operators, which makes over time makes the whole system stronger, right? It's like survival of the fittest. It can be brutal at times, but the survivors are strong. Well, we know over the last 15 years, they're not willing to let that happen. And I kind of understand why. Again, they're in a mess of their own creation, which is what is so frustrating to me. But the reason why they can't let it happen is because the excesses are so large now. It'd be a depressionary type event, right? If these companies literally, you know, you go look at the rates these companies are borrowing at and how much debt they've already got, it's insane. No rational buyer would do that unless the Fed was manipulating, unless people thought the Fed was going to backstop everything, which they are. The other way you get rid of debt, and just think of it yourself, right? You buy $1 million house. Over the next 2 years, price of the house goes down. Maybe you put 5% down or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, that $1 million house, you paid $1 million for it. It's worth $890, let's say. Right? How do you deal with that debt? There's two ways. Right? You either pay the debt down to where you now owe less than the principal value of the debt, which takes time. And you get back to a position of positive equity. Or the other way you can deal with it is, what if the price of the house goes up by 4 or 5x? Now, all of a sudden, you go from being underwater to, even if your loan amount stays the same, you've got 75% or you got 25% debt to equity. Right? Your house is worth 4 or 5 million and you only owe 900 grand or $1 million. right? What we refer to that is inflating away the debt. We push the price of the asset up higher and create the illusion of equity. And it's not an illusion. It's really there, right? It's really there, but it's through monetary machinations. And when you look back through history, this is not new. This is the path that is almost always taken. Rather than the default cycle, they want to inflate the debt away. Why? So they can stay in office. Right? Most people don't understand the process that I'm laying out to you. Right? They go, market's going up, things are good. You know, it's just asset price inflation. We got too much debt, we got to pay it down. That's the normal way of thinking, or you can just inflate it away. Right? Most people don't know that. But what do people know? They know a deflation cycle. They know a depression. They know a bust. And what are they going to do if you have a deflationary period or a bust or a depression? They're going to vote out the guy that was leading the charge. They're going to vote out the guys and the women that were leading the charge. They're going to vote out the party in charge. How did you let this happen? And in a democracy like ours, if you sit, I mean, you guys know the politicians we have in D.C. If you go look at them and say, hey, there's two ways we can deal with this. You got to let a default cycle happen, which will make us better in the long run, but it's going to stink for 3 to 5 years, maybe even as much as seven, but it's time to take our medicine. They're like, okay, well, what other options do you have, right? These people don't want to take the disciplined approach. They want to get reelected. So then you tell them, hey, we'll just print money out, you know, print money like crazy, give it away to everybody. That's going to be great. It's going to generate growth in the economy. And you'll be able to take credit for a great economy because the people won't really understand, right? The plebs out there, they won't understand. The proletariat will not have a grasp on what's really going on economically because they're too dumb. They need the wizards like us to lead them, right? So inflate it away. Have that guy's house go up. Things are great, man. I'm making more money. My house is going up. Meanwhile, he doesn't understand that his purchasing power of that dollar is down. But I'm just telling you that it's going to go the way of inflation because it always does. Because it's easier for the politicians to justify. They can stand up there and say, look what I did to the economy. And look, you got to vote for me. So we got to hold this all together. And we're going to fake the CPI number so people won't realize it's inflation. They'll think it's actual growth. That's what's happening. And that is why I feel the way I do about real estate. Now we're getting into the most important part. We got to take a quick break here. But now we've laid out what's going to happen, and I think it should make sense to you. And I am not one of those guys that's a Pollyanna about inflation. It will get bad. I just don't think it's going to happen as soon as everybody thinks it's going to happen because of all this debt, because of all these issues. But this is the part, the next segment, this is the part where we talk about how it relates to you in the house, right? The real estate. Don't miss this. And the other thing that you should be thinking about, guys, is you know what's going on. You know that things are off. You know that things are bizarre. Do you think a portfolio, an average portfolio, do you think that's going to get you done? Do you think, looking at this bizarre environment we're in, that you can really trust the return averages those guys are telling you? And here's why I ask. You've got a portfolio out there, stocks and bonds. The reason that it's been put together that way is because of the historical return averages. Okay, what is average about this economy? Nothing. So how in the world would you expect average returns? You got to wake up. Do not be having this conversation with us or anybody else 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, where either the value of your assets has been cut in half or your purchasing power has been cut in half. There is a better way to do this. There is a way where you can win in either portfolio. There is a way where you can only be down 5 or 6% last March when the market was down 36 and have outperformed the market by double digits since. We do it. I'm not promising we'll do it every time. We won't. But what I'm saying is we can take way less risk, pay way less in fees, and get more upside, guys, and be good in either scenario. And we've done it. Just educate. Take the 2 minutes to call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. Ask for the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Take the 3 minutes to call us and just have a consultation with me. Or one of our advisors. We just run you through how we do it and say, hey, there you go. Let us know if you want to move forward. There's no arm twisting. We don't need to do that. Anyway, just inform yourselves. Anyway, stick with us. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. All right, we're doing it a little bit different today. So we only got about 4 minutes left in the regular show, but I've got a little more to discuss. So we're going to go over, and we're referring to it as the Know Your Risk Radio Overtime segment, just because I really want to get into this real estate thing. And if, for those of you that don't know, go to knowyourriskradio.com and just download and subscribe to the podcast. Okay, and then you don't have to wait for the radio. You can just listen to it every week, and it automatically alerts you, and you can listen to it whenever you want. But let's get into it for the time remaining here. So how does this work into housing? One of the comments I get, I was talking to a guy that listens to the show the other day. And A, you know, he's spreading his money out through different banks because he's worried about banks collapsing. I understand his concern there. And was talking about selling his home because he thinks housing prices are going to collapse, all that kind of stuff. Let me just start with that. Guys, you're not going to see bank failures, not any big ones. Why? They're not going to let it happen. Okay, you could be like, well, they can't prevent everything. Yes, they can. Because if you want to keep something from going broke, you just put a bunch of money into its balance sheet. You just infuse it with capital. And they will. If you haven't realized that yet, you're not paying attention. Right? They're not going to let anything go bankrupt. They're just going to keep pumping. Okay, so don't worry about having too much cash at a bank. You need to be worried about the value of your cash, not whether you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Okay, that should be painfully apparent. Okay, the other thing with housing, and I'm going to expound on this a little bit here in the overtime segment, but do not worry about your house collapsing. Now, there could be segments or pockets of the area geographically in the United States where that does, but by and large, I don't think it's going to happen. Does that mean that you're not going to have bad 6 month or even 1 year periods of times where housing takes a dip? Not saying that. That'll probably happen. You will not see an 08, 09 housing style collapse, guys. If you think that's going to happen or that's your fear, you're fighting the last war. And that's one of the biggest mistakes to make in investing, right? Now, am I telling you to run out and buy a house? No. I'm just telling you, once again, with housing, they're propping up the stock market. They're going to do the same to housing. That's what they're doing. What you're seeing happen right now, you're not really seeing housing go up, guys. It's just a suppression of mortgage rates. I mean, there is increased demand for housing because of COVID and people moving around and things like that. Unquestionably, right? There is some demand. There is a demand part to the housing story right now, right? There's no question. But the biggest factor is rates. And we've said this on the show many, many times. The lower you take rates, the lower the payment on the house goes. People don't buy a house, they buy a payment. If you look at housing prices today, housing in the state of Washington, the average home is like 12 to 15% above its peak in 2007. So people are sitting there going, oh, it's in a bubble. Wrong. The 30-year mortgage in 2007 was around 6.4. Today, what is it, 2.83? Anyway, when you run the numbers, the mortgages today are 30, 35% cheaper than they were in 2007. You do not have the same scenario. Okay, so now we got to tie it up right here. At the end of the day, guys, bottom line, I hope the one thing you get is that this is not normal. If you expect to get good results, you need to have a risk management strategy. You're going to see bouts of inflation. You're going to see serious bouts of volatility. It's going to be like it's been over the last year. And the way you win in that environment is by limiting your losses in the downside and taking advantage of those dips, right? Not just riding the market up and down, up and down, up and down. It's a wild ride and we go nowhere. There's a better way to do this. You got to get rid of your bonds. They're going to get slaughtered. Rates are going to go higher. And in the meantime, they're not paying you anything anyway. They're not protecting your downside. Every time stocks go, bonds go with them. So hopefully this is helpful for you guys. Hopefully you're not sitting there going, oh, good Lord, the last thing we want to do is listen to this guy drone on longer. But let's get right into housing. So big misconception out there. I see a lot of people going, oh, I got to pay my house off. No. Okay, having a paid off house is not a bad thing. And I'm not telling you not to pay your house off. Okay, let me refix. If you're in retirement or you've got sufficient assets, that's one of the things. What I would say is this. Do not just summarily pay your house off without talking to somebody like me. Okay, because it's a math problem. Don't do what feels good. Okay, and the reason I say that is what feels good. When we say what feels good, right, we're basing that on prior experience. Nobody has operated an economy like this ever. Right? No other time in history did people really think that we could print our way to prosperity and that there'd be no consequences. Right? This is a different animal. Now, again, am I telling you to pay your house off? No. Am I telling you you shouldn't pay your house off? No. What I'm saying is there are certain circumstances in which you should and certain circumstances in which you shouldn't. And that is a very big decision. And you really need to do the work before you make that decision. If you want to talk to us about that, call us. Now, I'm not just going to sit there and talk to you about your house and that's it. But that's one of the benefits of being a client of ours. Clients go, hey, what is the interaction like? And I'm like, look, man, we're involved in as much of your financial life as you want us to be. We've been doing a lot of that this week, helping clients refi where it's appropriate, giving clients consultations on their 401ks that we're not managing. We don't charge for that, by the way. If you're a client of ours, we help you manage your 401k free of charge. But you need to get actual solid information because these are big decisions that are going to carry big weight. But if you're worried about the housing collapse issue of it, don't be. You're not going to see it. Like I said, you could see cooling periods, but why? Because unlike a lot of other things, the Fed kind of uses a sledgehammer, not really a scalpel, right? They're just going to print money and shove it out there. It's not surgical at all. It's reckless. But housing is one of those unique things where they're able to get surgical with it. They're able to impact just housing if they want to. How? Print money and buy mortgage-backed securities. And since March, they've bought about $1 trillion worth. That's why rates are so low. I hear people going, oh, this is great with rates. You know, it's rates have dropped. No, they've dropped. The Fed just bought them down. Why? Because they want to prop up assets. Remember when I was saying they don't want to have to take the pain. They don't want to take their medicine. So they're sitting there saying, listen, the way we're going to get out of this debt problem is we're just going to inflate the price of the asset. So now if you're sitting there and you're 10% negative equity in your house, we want to get you up to 30 or 40 or 50% positive equity. So we're just going to inflate the sucker. And we're going to do that by pushing rates lower and lower and lower, which makes house prices, which makes payment prices cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, which pushes headline house prices higher and higher and higher. On top of that, demographics are in the favor of housing, meaning the biggest generation in the history of this country are the millennials. It's like our Darren, our fearless millennial. Darren bought a house a year ago. 2 years ago. Jeez, you're getting old, brother. Watch out. The grays are coming, man. You own a house and a kid. Gray hair is inevitable at this point. Bake it in. But yeah, Darren bought a, these millennials are not going to live in their parents' basements for the rest of their lives like so many think. I mean, you're going to have some bums, but you got bums in every generation. Right? They eventually want their own place. And they're starting to right now. And think about, they're going to do something with college debt. Think about what's going to happen to real estate prices if they write off a big portion or all of college debt. Boom. And then push rates low. I've told you about my friend that was been on the show before. He has a negative 0.35 mortgage on his condominium in Copenhagen in Denmark. Now, I'm not saying we're going to negative mortgage rates here. What I'm telling you is they're going to push this as long as they can. Why? It's the game plan. Now, is there a risk of this stuff by some way backfiring and there being a big drop in the economy? Absolutely. That is a risk. Why? Because none of this is real, right? If something disrupts that mechanism, if something disrupts the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government's ability to print with no consequences, things could get ugly in a hurry. I just can't really envision what that is at this point. People are like, oh, the dollar's going to drop. And I'm like, that's what they're trying to do. That's literally what they're trying to do. They hope you're right. Because if the dollar drops 40%, guys, what happens to all your asset prices? They go way up. The other thing is the dollar drops 40%. The rest of the world, the international markets, the international economies are going to go ballistic. It's like a tax cut to them. So we... And I hope I'm laying this out because this is what is so incredibly difficult about navigating this environment as a money manager. You've got to be worried when you look at the debt levels, when you look at these insane valuations, when you look at all these different things, you have all the makings for a depressionary collapse. As a matter of fact, you've got more tinder for that kind of fire than you've ever had. At the same time, the Federal Reserve is literally manipulating every segment of the market and hemorrhaging cash. And they're going to continue to do it. The alternative is not, it's not only is it not politically expedient or politically tolerable is probably the best way to put it. I mean, none of us would really like that outcome because that would be brutal. If we had to take our... Now, am I in favor of it? Yes, because I think it would make us better in the long run. And I don't believe that life is all upside. You've got to pay the piper. You either choose to pay him on your terms or he will extract it on his. Either way, that debt is going to get paid. But we've made that decision, right? That ship has sailed. So rather than sitting around and opining and obloviating and griping and complaining about the insanity that's happening. And I've done plenty of it because I think it's financial suicide, right? Over the long run. I think it's going to be increasingly disruptive to society. Based on what I'm seeing now, I think you're going to continue to see the wealth gap widen, which is going to create more instability and more anger and more bitterness. But bottom line, you have to be able to navigate both. More importantly, you need a deeper level of thought on decisions like, should we buy another house? Should we pay off our house? These are not simple answers because you're going to approach that in a rational way. You're going to approach it in a responsible way, but you're doing it in an environment that is anything but responsible and anything that is anything but rational. And so we have to be conscious of the rules of the game that we are playing. And the rules have changed drastically, and you need to as well. Because these are life-altering types of decisions. And I know there are people out there going, oh, you're saying that we might want to pay off our house. You're one of those irresponsible debt. Nope. Nope. Not at all. I don't even own a personal credit card. I am an anti-debt guy. I still say I get weird looks because when I go to buy a car, I still save up cash and I save to go buy a car. Crazy. Don't even own a personal credit card. I am anti-debt as they come. Here's my issue. If you want to carry the risk of my mortgage for 30 years at 2.8%, be my guest. Be my guest. Now, again, I am not telling you all to not pay off your mortgages. I'm not telling you to pay off your debt. Do you notice that I haven't mentioned any other kind of debt? Why is that? Because other debts don't grow in value and make you money, right? They just it's money losing deals. The other side of it is this. If you're responsible and you have the money to pay off your mortgage, we have a real estate fund, a very low volatility, very responsibly managed, great performing too. There's funds out there that have made more money, but these guys use very little debt and leverage. They're very conservative and they cranked out beautiful returns for 20 years with very low volatility. They basically coasted through the 08-09, the financial crisis, right? Real estate based. Stock market was down 60, 63% top to bottom. Residential real estate, you guys remember, it was down 40%. Corporate debt was down 25, 26, 27%. Investment grade bonds. Everything got rocked. This real estate fund was down 22% at the bottom in 08, 09, and it recovered all of those losses by the end of 2010. And it's paying like a 6% dividend or a 6% income distribution right now. So what we're doing with some of our clients, we're saying, hey, that money that you're going to use to pay off your house is financed at 2.8. Let's take that money and invest it in this real estate fund, right? Because they're like assets. It's all real estate. Now, it's a little bit different. It's globally diversified, but stay with me here. Let's take that money over here and let's generate 6% with it. And then we'll have the debt here at 2.8. And we've got a positive carry. People are like, well, I don't want debt because if something bad happens, well, you don't have debt. You still have the $500,000 right there, right? Or the money you were going to use to pay off your house. You can take that money and pay off your house at any moment, right? As long as you don't spend that money, it's like not having debt. On your personal balance sheet, like a business, we look at it and go, you wouldn't have debt. Yeah, you got $500,000 of debt over here, but you got $500,000 of cash over here, and they're both invested in the same things. You could pull that money out from this real estate fund and pay off that mortgage at any time. Why are you not doing it? Because the mortgage costs you 2.8 and you're making 6% on the money. So the interest you're earning on this money is helping you pay off the house. You're letting one of your assets pay off your other. Now, I beg you, do not take this as license to go out there and get a bunch more debt. Because this only works if you keep the cash on hand. At the end of the day, this is the type of thinking that needs to go into this. The way that we've always done it in the past, just like with the 60-40 portfolio, just like with bonds, guys, it's not working. It hasn't worked for almost two decades now. Okay, you got to adjust. And I think that adjustment can start with a call. How do you make sure you're not getting smoked in downturns like March, but you still have the capability to make a ton to the upside, even outperform the market at lower fees than you're currently paying? We're not guaranteeing it, but we did it over the last year, 2 years. I think that's a pretty good stress test, right? Anyway, just educate yourself. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Get the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Talk to us. Talk about your portfolio. We'll also review your real estate situation. Anyway, you guys, just take the 3 minutes to invest in the rest of your financial future. Anyway, gotta run. Have a wonderful weekend. We will be back next week. Gonna hook up with Mr. Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro. You're not gonna want to miss it. Until then, you guys, have a wonderful week. I'm gonna be down with the kiddos in Phoenix, so hopefully I get a little sun and play in the pool. But looking forward to it. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate you listening. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.